All right, we will get started with the Monday, May 2nd Water Supply and Resources Committee. Second item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the April 4th, 2022 meeting.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Number three is public comments. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to make a comment? Going once, going twice. All right. On to item number four, Mount Pleasant Waterworks updates. And I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Klum.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rambo, Ms. Hyatt, and Ms. Chapman. We're going to do a brief update today, MPW update. We're going to cover MPW's 2021 customer survey, our new meter testing facility, and a little bit about our FY23 proposed budget and schedule. So I want to introduce Ms. Nicole Bates. She's our customer service manager, and Nicole will update you on our 2021 customer survey.
Thank you and good afternoon. Happy to be here to provide some of our results with you. We have a very comprehensive customer survey program. Every week, every customer that contacts us, either in our contact center or our dispatch department, or receives a field service call, gets an email from us about our service that we're provided for whatever it was that they contacted us about. And then every 2 years, we conduct a major comprehensive survey of all of our customers, giving them all the opportunity to provide us feedback on the services that we provide, also asking where they would like us to focus in the future. So we launched the survey late 2021, early 2022, and I'm going to provide you with some of the data that we have back. This year, we had a new vendor that conducted our survey for us. They're called ETC. They've been in the business for over 30 years conducting this type of survey. The survey went out via email and it also was posted on our website and on various social media sites for customers to have the ability to provide us with those answers. It took around 15 minutes for completion time, so it is pretty comprehensive in the questions, but worth the time spent to give us that feedback so that we have an idea of where they'd like us to focus in the future. Our sample size goal for this type of survey was for 1,500 respondents, and we were really happy to get just a little bit over 2,200 responses. So you can see here on this slide that we had a really balanced respondent rate as far as male to female ratio, the various age ranges, and then the map shows you that we also had a comprehensive look at our whole service area. So the answers weren't focused solely on certain parts of Mount Pleasant. It was from all of Mount Pleasant. As far as the overall value and looking for our goal to identify areas of improvement, we ask customers to rate their satisfaction with the overall value they receive from the cost of our water and wastewater services. And very happy to report that it was overwhelmingly satisfied and very satisfied, with less than 10% of our customers being in the dissatisfied or very dissatisfied category. Based on our most recent experience, we asked them to give us their feedback on the customer service that they received. Again, very high ratings back from 86% to 96%, and very favorable feedback based on our customer service, asking questions that ranged from, did the employee with whom you spoke treat you with respect, which had the 96% rating, as well as, would you hire this employee that you spoke with, giving us a 88.5% rating. We also asked about the satisfaction that customers are experiencing with the quality and safety of the wastewater services that we provide. Excellent rating there, less than 3% of our customers were in the dissatisfied category. Satisfaction with water service related items, we broke this down into categories in order for them to give us feedback on the reliability, the safety, the taste, the smell, and the odor. Again, that dissatisfied category, 6% or less, very happy with those ratings. All that dark blue and light blue is the very satisfied and satisfied category. Which three items would you like MPW to focus on in the future was one of our questions. So in the next 5 years, with ensuring the safety of drinking water, getting an overwhelming 70% taste of drinking water, and ensuring adequate supply being the other two that rounded out our top three for our goals for the next 5 years that they would like us to focus on. Perception of the current cost of the services that we provide for water and wastewater at two cents per gallon and 3 cents per gallon for water and wastewater. We again had a very high rating as far as very reasonable and reasonable, with just 12% of our customers stating that it was not reasonable in the water category and 17 in the wastewater category. Our satisfaction with Mount Pleasant Water Works services overall in comparison with other municipalities across the country, again, we rated much higher than others, 88% for overall quality of water service, while across the country you're looking at 54%, 56%. Also very good for the taste of our tap water, and very great with the overall value you receive for the cost of your water and wastewater services, again at 75% for Mount Pleasant Water Works and in the 30% range for the Southeast and for the United States. And that is all I had to share with you this morning. Does anybody have any questions about the data that I shared with you?
Nicole, just congratulations to you and your customer service team and all the team.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This is really, really great results. And I'm still fascinated by who doesn't like the taste, because we were in Greenville over the weekend and I thought their water tasted terrible compared to ours. But anyway.
Well, thank you. And again, this survey is about everyone at Mount Pleasant Water Works, not just about the customer services department. But we're really excited to share these results with you and also get the feedback from our customers to know where we can focus in the future. One of those things Alan's just about to speak with you about, as far as our meter testing program goes, it's something that came from past survey results and something that we knew that our customers wanted us to focus on.
Great job, Nicole. Thank you. Two things to point out about that survey. Nicole highlighted them both, but I want to reiterate it. One is that benchmark. And when you compare Pleasant Water Works to the benchmarking of utilities around the nation and in the Southeast, it is really impressive to me to see how our team far exceeds those average numbers. So 30s and 50s are pretty typical, and we're running in the 80s and 90s. So that's really important. The other highlight that I want to mention to you is the question, which I love so much: would you hire this employee? We receive a lot of phone calls, and oftentimes we certainly strive to resolve that situation, but sometimes you can't. But when you ask the question, would you hire the employee that you had to deal with, whether you walked away happy, upset, satisfied, angry about the situation, 90%, 88.5, said that they would hire that employee. Now, to me, that's saying a lot about the service. And so, Nicole, great job. She mentioned it. It's a team effort, but we are very proud of those results. So what you're seeing now is the meter testing facility. In 2017, we began a program to put in AMI meters, advanced metering infrastructure. Really provides the customer a lot of information, and it's at the customer's fingertips. The second phase of that is to ensure that those meters are measuring and monitoring accurately, that they're precise in the recording. That's our cash register. We bill based on that meter. Typically, as meters age, they under-recover. And that's not fair to other customers that are being accurately billed. So part of that process of when to replace meters, part of our asset management process, is to ensure that those meters are reading accurately. So we're building a facility where we'll be able to take meters out. Meters come to us and they are certified upon arrival. But this is another opportunity to us that we can further test meters at some set interval that we'll determine to ensure that they're reading properly. So you can see, it's hard to see, but there are roughly 10 meters in that test kit. We will flow through and make sure that they're measuring accurately. And this is going to be built right around the corner at our RO2 facility. And so why is this important? Really important when you talk about irrigation and some of the things that happen. We alluded to it at our last presentation, but we knew irrigation was coming. And it has. We're seeing numbers now around 9, 10, 11 million gallons a day, which is a big uptick in irrigation. What that means is in the subsequent billing cycle, you will likely have a higher bill. And we often receive complaints, are the meters reading accurately? Why is my bill all of a sudden so high? Well, we know and understand that that's because of irrigation. And this is yet another tool to just ensure that those meters are reading accurately. Lastly, I want to point to that'll start. We will have a public meeting on May 4th, again on May 16th at our full commission meeting, on May 9th, and a final opportunity on June 27th at our annual commission meeting, where we will approve and adopt our FY 2023 budget and rate schedule. So if you have any questions about the items we presented today, I'd be glad to answer those.
Mr. Clubman, you don't have to go through commission in Columbia for your rates, do you? Like other utilities might.
No, we do not, just our elected commissioners. We're a commissioner of public works.
Right.
So we're responsible for setting our own rates, our commissioners are. Correct.
Thank you. I thought that was the case. I just wanted to make sure.
And I just want to highlight that if any of you guys or other council members start getting questions about billing or start getting complaints that they're being billed, I highly encourage them to go online to their account in their portal and sign up for the text message alerts, which are very nice. I got one a couple days ago because my daughters were playing in the sprinkler, which was fun, but they're not going to do it again. Sorry. You get 5 minutes. That's it.
We're trying to help you, but you have to sign up.
But it has alerted us to problems in the past that we would not have caught if we did not have those alerts. So I definitely encourage you guys to put that out there to folks if you can. All right.
Thank you, Jake. That concludes your update.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. We will move on to item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding an amendment to section 51.092 of the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances entitled Annexation for Sewer Service. Mr. Jamora, Mr. Pagliarini, I don't know who's you guys want to give us the background on this, that would be great.
Thank you, committee. This was a proposed ordinance, came from last month, and it has been proposed that there be an exception to our ordinances related to sewer connection. And if you can forward to it. So just a little bit of background. Historically, our ordinances provided that divided into contiguous and non-contiguous properties. If a property is contiguous to the town of Mount Pleasant, in order to be eligible for sewer, an annexation must follow. There's also a provision that if that annexation petition is denied, then the applicant is eligible for sewer connection. So that deals with that section. For non-contiguous properties, the town ordinance has provided that if a non-contiguous property executes a legally binding document, which is recorded and approved by the town of Mount Pleasant, and they wish for sewer service, they must annex when they are eligible, essentially when they become contiguous. So what is proposed is a limited exception, and that is in Section D of this document that you see in front of you, which provides that any lot outside the corporate limits of the town of Mount Pleasant, whether contiguous or non-contiguous, so the exception applies to both types of properties. It has to be within the town's official planning area, and that contains an existing residential structure serviced by a septic system. So those are all the limited elements that would be required for this exception. May obtain sanitary sewer service from the town of Mount Pleasant Water Works, provided that they be limited to one residential equivalent unit per lot. So there are two follow-ups to that. The first you'll note is that there is a blank section in here related to the date, and the recommendation is that that date be the date, if such an ordinance is passed, that it be the date of the ordinance, meaning you must have a residential unit as of the date of the ordinance to prevent someone from coming in building later and being allowed to utilize this exemption. The second change, which was discussed at PJL, is that the number of sewer connections be also be related to the number of septic systems already on the property. And the example was provided or given that in some heirs property circumstances, you have one property with multiple residential units on it. If they're serviced by different septic systems, that they'd be allowed connection up to that amount. So that was the, I don't want to say amendment because we're not in ordinance form, but that was the proposed change to this draft that was discussed at PJL. PJL further asked that this go to council next week, subject to any changes, additions, deletions that this committee might have. So that is it in a nutshell. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so with that change, it would still be existing septic tanks. So if somebody's got a piece of property with one house and they want to, and it's in the county,
yeah,
and they're on a septic tank and they switch over, if they add something to that property, they would, that addition or accessory dwelling unit or whatever would not be eligible to receive another REU. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. Is that correct, Mr. Clough? Yeah. That is my understanding of the proposed change. And I don't know how many properties that would affect, but as stated, there are a number in various communities of heirs properties to where it's just developed over the years that there are multiple residences on one property.
Okay, and Mr. Coleman, it's a question for you, but I'm not sure if it, of course, this would also take a change in Mount Pleasant Waterworks policies the commissioners adopt to then accept changes made by the town, or is the policy that just to follow the town's ordinance?
Mount Pleasant Waterworks is currently following the town's annexation ordinance.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong. So one of my questions as far as loopholes, so like I could think of the former Ryan's Steakhouse or buffet or whatever it was called. So it had sewer service, even though it was in the county. So when it changed hands, it became a hotel, which was a much more expanded use in many, many, many more REUs. But since it had existing sewer service, it did not have to annex into the town.
Jake, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the history.
I guess I'm just saying, I guess my question is that policy going, is that policy being changed as well with this?
This would only apply to existing residential structures. So
okay.
It does not address commercial structures, and it's limited to a single REU.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So this involves the entire town, I mean, within the circle of our
town limits.
Within our official planning area.
Yeah.
Of course, ma'am, these properties are not in the town of Mount Pleasant that would be affected by this. They're in the county, but our geographical references are defined planning area.
Okay. I don't know. For some reason, I thought there was going to be a limit to the area, like an environmental component, like if it was near Shim Creek or near the waterways, but this is just going to be town-wide.
Our entire planning area, as currently proposed, it is our planning area, and that is a relevant question and point, as part of the nature of this is protection of environmental and forwarding of environmental, certain environmental protections, but we have not been asked to, at this time, look at it from a closer or more restricted geographical area. But if that is this committee's wish, that's what we will do.
I'm just trying to think of the benefit to the town other than an environmental benefit. I'm just trying to see how this benefits us other than that.
Yeah, Ms. Hyatt, this really is for environmental protection and
yeah.
water quality, and it's really related to existing structures that are in the county, so they're mm-hmm. not in the town. They have no desire at this time to come into the town through annexation. So you're handling a water quality issue, mm-hmm. the environmental component, by limiting it to existing structures.
If, Mr. Pecorini, if down the road, a few years from now, somebody discovers a loophole or something that we really, if this ends up getting abused in a way that was unintended, is this reversible?
Yes, sir. It can be taken away to where, remember, this is an exception to an existing ordinance where we're allowing a limited exception, and it can be removed as well as it can be approved.
Okay. This is somewhat related, but this would have no legal impact on folks that have already signed, that are non-contiguous and have already signed one of those annexation agreements once they become contiguous.
That is my position, sir.
Okay. And just from a management perspective, is it just every time a new property is annexed, that map is looked at to see if there's a property that had signed one of those that then becomes contiguous? Who's managing that, you know, making sure people annex?
Yes, sir.
Later on.
Well, we are. One of the reasons when we amended that provision, I want to say that was in 2012, we made it a recorded doc. So part of it is that it should be part of the chain of title. But your question is about administrative management, and the town is actively reviewing that on a case-by-case basis. Our plan department is in charge of that.
Okay. All right. Do you guys have any other questions? Well, I know Mr. Travis knows. The PLJ committee already advanced this to council with one of the changes that was talked about, so there's no action necessary from this body. So if anybody has, unless anybody has any further comments or questions.
No, I was going to send it on.
Oh, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.